We're opening our new series today, Wide Open. We're talking about what it means to be in relationship with God's power. And I apologize to you. We have run, God is building this church, you know this. Last week we had over 900 people here in service. And this week we may have had more, I don't know, because we ran out of handouts for the bulletin and they were printing them after last service. And so we apologize to you for not having them. So, borrow your neighbor's sleeve or arm or something like that and you can write notes and we'll be prepared for more people next week. And we do apologize. We gave it a shot. But we do thank God that he's building his church. Amen. So we're talking about our relationship with God's power and how he works. And today we're going to examine our relationship with the miraculous. What does it mean to be in relationship with the miraculous? And are we open to the miraculous? Jesus was approached by a young man that the scripture calls or describes as the rich young ruler. So as he was a young man, he had youth on his side, and he was rich, which isn't bad, and then he was a ruler, he was influential. He's starting life in this way, and he's grown up in this manner, and he comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Hey, can you tell me how to have eternal life? What do I need to do to gain it?" And Jesus says to him, "Hey, you're a good Jewish young man. You know the law. Don't commit murder." And that's always a good place to start. If you're wondering today, how do I get started doing good things? Don't murder people. That's good. And he said, "Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't tell false things about people." He's telling all of these things, and the young man, and I read it like he has a little bit of the arrogance of youth going for him. Sometimes when we're young, we're a little bit more confident than we ought to be. We think that we can do things that maybe we're not really qualified to do. I know that sometimes when I'm speaking to young people, I won't name any particular young people, whether they live in my house or not is immaterial. It's just, I speak to young people sometimes who, when you ask them about something, they'll say, "Yeah, I'm really good at that," or "I'm an expert in this area." And if you've lived more than 15 minutes, you know, yeah, you've only done it for 4 minutes, so you can't quite be an expert in this area, but that is what causes young people to be those that step out and explore new territory and see new things and invent new things and have different ways of thinking. And so it's not all bad, it's kind of what does that, but I kind of see this in this rich young ruler, and he's saying, "Hey, I've done those things. I've done those things since I was born." And so Jesus continues to have the conversation with him in verse number 21 of Mark chapter 10. He says, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. So what Jesus is about to say to him, he's not doing it because he's trying to get the guy and be like, "Hey, let me show you the one thing that you haven't done." No, he's got genuine love for him. He said, "There's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He couldn't take Jesus up on that offer. We go to verse number 25, and Jesus is now talking to his disciples, and he says, "In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Now, the context of this verse is all about salvation. It's all about the young man saying, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus responding to his statement. He's saying, "You know what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." Now, when we read that, we're like, "Where in the world did Jesus come up with an analogy like that?" Well, in that day, it was a very common analogy to say that if you were talking about impossible things, to say that it would be easier for an elephant to go through the eye of a needle. And most scholars believe that when Jesus is talking here, he changes it from elephant, which was the common phrase, to camel, because many people in the area, the region he was talking to, probably would have never seen an elephant, so they didn't have a real good mental image of that. And there was no YouTube at the time, so no way to go just look it up. So here it is, he's putting it into an image that they did know. They saw camels often, and it would be equally impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle as an elephant. And so here's Jesus saying, it's an impossible thing for humanity to be saved. That is true. He recognizes the impossibility. Then he says, but God. Now, when he says, but not with God, he's introducing the divine into this natural human reality that we all deal with, the impossibility of man or the limitation of man. But then the disciples say, well, who can be saved? Jesus says, well, you know, humanly it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, or everything's possible. And that's our big idea today. The big idea is that everything is possible with God. And he changes the dialogue by saying everything is possible with God, because no matter how you look at that, he's taking the limitations off of humanity, and he's saying when we connect with God, suddenly that which was impossible can become possible. Now, some people try to limit what he's saying to specifically the issue of salvation, that what Jesus was really saying was everything you could possibly need to be saved is available with God. And I would agree with that if Jesus had said, truly, humanly speaking, it's impossible, but not with God. If he had left the statement there, then I would agree that this is really talking about salvation specifically. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on and says, everything is possible with God. So he takes the limitations, that if you read that grammatically, if you read that in the translation of the original language, there is no limitation on this vocabulary at all. He's literally saying, yes, I recognize the limitation here, but when you start talking, including God, or talking about God in the equation, it suddenly takes all the limitations and removes them. Everything becomes expanded. And that's thought number one for us today. Thought number one is God consistently speaks to expansion. Consistently speaks to expansion. Jesus does not argue with his disciples about the impossibility of humanity being saved. He doesn't say, no, guys, you got it all wrong. It's really possible. He says, humanly speaking, it is impossible. He recognizes the impossibility, but he doesn't focus on it. And that's where Jesus becomes very different from you and I, because where life has taught us to look out for the gotchas, it's taught us to focus on the limitations. You'll get a new credit card, and it comes with air miles. And if you buy everything on this credit card, then you can discover the world. You can go anywhere you want to go, except on the days that you actually want to go. No, those are blacked out. Those are not available. That's a different program. The other day I was watching a commercial, and it was a commercial for this medication that's there for bad breath. And if you have bad breath, you can take this medication, and apparently you have wonderful breath after this. And this is good. And I thought, well, I eat mints like crazy on Sundays. I could just take this medication, never have to worry about another mint in my life. Be awesome. And that's just to bless y'all. That's why I eat mints. And so I'm like, this could be good. And then I'm reading the fine print, and the last side effect is possible death. And I just kind of pondered that for a minute, and I thought, you know, I like fresh breath, I really do, but death? I don't know. I mean, Christy has, you know, wonderful oral hygiene, but even if she had terrible breath, I prefer her around. I guess we could say at her funeral, but she had wonderful breath just before she passed. I don't know. It's kind of a big gotcha. In our world teaches us, we all learned it at some point, if it sounds too good to be true, it is, or it probably is. And that's what the world teaches us. That's what we understand from our experiences. Jesus says it sounds too good to be true, and it is good, and it is also true. It is true that humanity can be saved, but you know what? The greatest impossibility is that of being saved. It's impossible. We don't all sin in every way, but every one of us has failed to pass the worthiness test, where you're worthy of the salvation that Christ offers you, where I'm worthy of the salvation that Christ offers me. I can't pass the worthiness test, but Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says clearly, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. We didn't deserve it, but he offered it. It was an impossible thing to earn, but he gave it to us. The disciples, they focused on the limitations here. But Jesus says, hey, let's expand beyond the limitations and let's look at the possibilities that occur when Christ is involved. When you get God involved in your world and in your life, it goes from being a limited situation to being an unlimited situation where he says everything is possible. Now, embracing the expansiveness of God is a pervasive human struggle. It is always difficult to embrace all that God has for us. Because we live in a limited world and a limited mindset. We will accept some things, but other things seem just too fantastic to be true. We'll accept that he can do certain things in our life, but everything, that's a big word. We can accept that he could do. In fact, we have a example in Scripture of a crowd looking at the Apostle Paul. And they show us a beautiful example of people trying to embrace the expansiveness of God, but falling short, not being able to. The Bible says that Paul was talking to a crowd of people, and they were pretty mad at him because he was preaching Jesus Christ as Savior and the fulfillment of the prophecies, and they weren't really thrilled about this. And so they start yelling at him, and they want to have an argument. In fact, they want him just dead. They want him gone. So Paul says, hey, let me explain to you what it is I'm dealing with here. He said, this is what happened to me. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I believed what you believed probably better than you believe it right now. And I was fervent. I was so fervent that the chief priests and the scribes, they gave me letters to be able to go to the places where these Christians were and actually arrest them, definitely jail them, possibly kill them. And in fact, I was on my way to Damascus to do that very thing when a bright light from heaven shone down on me and it knocked me off my horse. I laid down on that road and I was blind. And I heard a voice. There was no man. People around me heard the voice, but there was no man. And that voice said, hey, Paul, what are you doing? Now I'm paraphrasing. And Paul was like, I don't really know what I'm doing right now. Who are you? And the voice said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. And Paul was like, sorry about that. And Jesus said, I want you to go see this guy named Ananias, and Ananias is going to teach you about me, and then you're going to be an apostle for me, or you're going to work for me. And Paul was like, okay. And so he's telling the crowd. So I got up, and somebody led me by the hand, because I was blind, to Ananias, and he taught me, and after several days, I was healed, and I could see again, and that was a miracle. And so here I am talking to this guy named Ananias. He's telling me about Christ, and I am blown away, and I become a disciple of Christ. I'm baptized, and I move forward in that area. And then the crowd's listening. The crowd's listening to all of this, and they're not saying a word. In fact, the Bible says in verse 21 of Acts 22, but the Lord said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Verse 22, the crowd listened. They were all listening fine until Paul said that word. What word did Paul say? He said the word Gentiles. Gentiles. Then they all began to shout, away with such a fellow. He isn't fit to live. so they could accept that Paul was knocked off his horse by a light, that he was blinded, that he saw a vision of Jesus, that Jesus spoke to him, that Jesus said, I am the Messiah, that he was led to Damascus, he met a guy named Ananias, God removed like scales from his eyes and let him see again. They could accept all of those things, and they could even accept that Paul had become a disciple of Jesus, and they were like, okay, maybe we don't like it, maybe we don't want, but they were quiet until he said he was going to preach to the Gentiles, and then all of a sudden, the Jews in that crowd began to have a fit. Why? Because they could believe all those other things, they could accept all those other things, but they could not accept that God would care about the Gentiles. And now they're saying, you're not even fit to live. God was expanding the gospel's reach, but they could not receive that. Reception is based on experience. The question becomes, how does this expansion affect me? Our church is growing, and it's a beautiful thing to see, and it's very exciting to be a part of, and everybody wants everybody to be saved until the newly saved person takes my seat. Well, then now we got some problems. I just don't know about all this. It took me 5 minutes to get a parking spot this morning. It's affecting me. So now, there's change involved. I had to choose another service time. Let's act like you don't know what I'm talking about. If it's change or if it's inconvenience or if it's unknown, it's suddenly, we like the expansiveness until it becomes a problem for moi. For me, then I start dealing with it and having to fight through it. And that brings us to thought number two. Our faith is limited by our narrowest restriction. By our narrowest restriction. In these two passages of Scripture that we've talked about, these two stories, you have the story of the rich young ruler. He was dedicated enough. He believed enough to come to the feet of Jesus and say, what do I need to do to be saved? But he did not have whatever it took. He could not accept that Jesus could, in fact, provide for him financially. And so suddenly, that's a faith pinch point that he comes to and he can't get past. The crowd, they could accept all of these other things. They could hear it without becoming boisterous and wanting to kill Paul until he said the Gentiles. Then they were like, I don't know. That's a faith pinch point. I can receive until I get to this one place and suddenly I do not have the capacity to believe that God could actually care about the Gentiles. Your narrowest restriction will be the limiting moment or part of your faith. Let me see if I can illustrate that for us this morning or this afternoon. I have a 4-inch PVC pipe here in my hand. And let's just act like this right here is a representation of all the power and authority that God has. That his power, his authority, and all of who he is just flows through this pipe unrestricted, and it's beautiful and it's awesome and we're excited. And what God says is, he says, hey, listen, I am going to connect with you via salvation. I'm going to connect with you and you're going to be my child and I'm going to be your God. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour out all of the power and authority and ability and that I have, and I'm just going to pour it, connect it to your life, and you're going to be a conduit of my grace and my mercy and my power to the world around you. And this right here, this is your life. This is all the needs and all of the issues of the world and your home and everything else all wrapped up into one. And he says, I will let my power and authority just flow right into your world through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do that, and man, it's going to be awesome. And we want this. We sign up for this. We say, yes, Jesus, that's what I want. But see, time and experience occurs. And eventually what we say is, you know what? I really want it like that, Jesus, and that would be so cool. But see, I've got some other issues here, and I've got some other problems, and that situation didn't result in the thing I was looking for, and it didn't work out the way that I thought. And so I have a pinch point in my life now where I've got a two-inch pipe between all the power and authority that God has and the needs and realities of my life and the world in which I'm living. And so here it is. I can believe him for some stuff, like most of us in this room probably are believing him for salvation. And here we are. Here is a beautiful thing. Salvation is flowing right from the throne of God, right through my life and into the world. And I'm telling everybody that Jesus is Lord and Savior. But when I start thinking about, can he heal my body in the situation that I'm in? Ooh, I don't. And what we start saying is, well, you know, fear starts getting into our heart and our mind, and we start saying, well, you know, if that happens, I don't know, that's kind of, he's talking about kind of freaky stuff right there. I mean, that could get into weird. Or I've not seen it like that before. And so I'm unaccustomed to that. Oh, I'm accustomed with parts of him and part of what he can do. But I'm not accustomed, and I'm not sure that I'm going to just be okay with all of that. So I can believe him for these things that he says in the Bible, and they flow right through me and out into the world. But the other stuff that he says in the Bible, well, some of that, it's probably, I mean, that's, I mean, you gotta read it, you gotta figure it out. You know, is that really for now? Is that really for yesterday? How does that occur? Maybe I haven't seen it like that before. And so suddenly, there's a pinch point. And I'm not talking to you about being saved, and I'm not talking to you about, you know, if you don't believe this, you're bad. Or no, this is all good people trying to do right things and trying to know everything about Christ. We're simply limiting at times and in certain areas what God can get through our life and do in our life. They're pinch points. And the question is, do you know the pinch points that are in your life? Can you identify faith pinch points, the narrow restrictions? I've got a couple of questions that might help you with that. First is, in what area does trouble stress you? You can handle the trouble in this over here. I've told the stories about Christy and I dealing with financial issues. She and I have the ability to believe God for financial blessings. But there's other areas that we might struggle to believe God. And so when we go through something, we might get stressed out, not so much about the finances, but get all freaked out about something else. What area of trouble stresses you? In what area do you tend to take control and leave God out? Oh, wow, he's doing good over here. Wow, I'm just leaving it all up to God. But then I got to that thing and I'm like, hey, God, just kind of step over to a minute. I got this. We all have an area. How about the question, where do you stop believing that God can or will do something spectacular? I said most of us probably in this room believe God for salvation. That's the most spectacular miracle that there can be. So we believe him for that, but we struggle to believe that he can do the spectacular beyond salvation. Sometimes dedication will take us to a place where our faith can't keep us. And our faith has to expand in order for us to stay. I say when I'm dealing with talented people sometimes, I'll say to them, hey, listen, be careful because your talent will give you opportunities to stand on stages that your character may not be able to keep you. So be careful. Develop your character as much as you develop your talent, because your talent will open up the door, but it'll be your character that keeps you there. Well, in this case, I'm saying, sometimes your dedication, the dedication of the rich young ruler, put him at the feet of Jesus saying, teach me, Rabbi. But his faith couldn't expand to the place where he could stay at the feet of Jesus. He walked away from Jesus instead. So your dedication has put you into a moment right now where God is challenging your faith. He said, hey, can you expand to believe that I can do all that I say that I can do? And the question is, will our faith expand and keep us in that area where we can live that out as men and women of God? Or will we continue to keep our faith pinch point and have to walk away from that opportunity. I'm not saying you would walk away from Jesus. I am saying that you might walk away from something that Jesus could do in your life if the faith to believe him could expand to that capacity. And that brings us to thought number three. You and I can choose to allow the expansive God to expand our faith. It's your choice. Will you and I be wide open to all that God has and can do? Or will we choose to retain our faith pinch points? I remember when Christy and I were dealing with the stuff in planting churches in Lombard and in Kona. And I've told you parts of these stories and so on. But I remember very distinctly praying and saying, God, we need finances. We need finances. And we were believing we needed $10. We needed $10. That's what it costs to go to McDonald's after church on a Wednesday night and everybody order off the dollar menu. That was a treat for us. And the boys would say, can we go to McDonald's? And we'd say, no. Dave Ramsey says no. But every once in a while, Dave Ramsey would say yes. And so they didn't like Ramsey much growing up, I'm telling you. And so finally, we started seeing this $10 come in. And so we started believing God for $100. And eventually, $100 was there. And I remember talking to Christy and saying, hey, could you imagine what it would be like if in an offering someday we received an offering of $1,000? Wouldn't that just be amazing? Christy's like, yeah, that'd be amazing. What could we do in the kingdom of God to push forward the gospel if somebody gave $1,000 in the offering? And the first time it ever happened, I was like, wow, that's mind-blowing. So one day I was preaching a couple weeks ago. I don't know how long had gone by, but some time had gone by, and we had received a $5,000 offering, and I was like, this is blowing my mind. So I was preaching, and I said, hey, we've received a $5,000 offering, but I'm believing God for a $10,000 offering. We've never seen that. That's never happened, and so I'm believing God for that. A couple of weeks later, we got a letter in the mail, and the letter said, Pastor Micah, I live in another. My family and I live in another area. We don't live near you, but we listen to your podcast all the time. And so we heard you say a couple weeks ago that you'd never received a $10,000 offering, and we wanted to be the first. And in it included was a check for $10,000. Now, I want you to understand that this wasn't anything that went into my pocket. This was pushing forward in the church to the kingdom of God. And it was, I mean, it was an awesome moment. It began a great relationship. Then I started believing God for $100,000. And when that offering came through, it blew my mind. I was like, wow, God. Started believing God for a $500,000 offering. And when that happened, I was like, oh. Now I'm believing God for $1 million offering. And if you want to write the check, you can be the first person. I haven't seen that happen in our ministry. This isn't about me. And my point is that for us, it was a challenge to believe. And as we stretched our faith to believe God, God consistently poured more in. And I'm not joking about the believing God for $1 million. But as we all laughed, why can't we believe God that we would be the one that wrote the $1 million check? I'm not saying you gave your ever last dime. I'm saying you're so blessed that you could afford to give $1 million or give $1,000. And I'm not taking an offering after this. I'm just asking us to expand our faith. Expand our faith, because we can believe God for some things. And that's the story of Christy and I being able to believe God for these increasing amounts, only because he showed himself faithful in the smaller amounts. Well, he can show himself faithful to you in the areas where you're struggling to believe that he can. Today, I'm believing God for miraculous things to happen in this church. I'm believing God for miracles of healing. Miracles in somebody's body, Maybe it's somebody's mind, somebody's emotional stability. I'm believing for miracles in emotions and in families. I'm believing for God to heal families and bring people back together again. I'm believing that there will be miraculous ideas that are given to people in this congregation. I'm believing that somebody's going to have an awesome idea for a book or for articles, and that God is going to birth new things out of your life. I'm believing God for the miraculous in you, and I'm asking you, can we expand our faith to believe that He can actually do every single thing that He said? He said He could do it. Here's what we can, what if we just took out the pinch points and we said, God, I don't pretend to understand it. I don't pretend to know how you're going to do it or why you would even do it. But we're just going to be the church and the people that just believe that you can and believe that you will. We're just going to believe that you are God alone and that you can do what you said you can do. And we will become a conduit of your glory in our lives, in our families' lives, in our community, in our city, and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. What if you had the health that you needed? What if you had the wealth that you needed? What if He could? Now, how do you get there? You're going to need to take pictures of the screen here in just a minute. You choose to be wide open. How? One, refuse to stop listening when the message leaves your area of comfort. And it's not the message of Micah Sutton. It's the message of the Word of God. When the Word of God leaves your area of comfort, the same Bible that says you can be saved by faith in Christ Jesus says that pretty cool things can happen in your life if you can believe that. Stay engaged when God addresses an area where you're uncomfortable or inexperienced. Maybe you've never seen it happen like that before. But does that mean it's not ever going to happen or can't happen that way? No. So stay engaged even whenever your experience doesn't say, yeah, I understand that. How about don't allow your current experience to limit your faith for what God can do? I believe that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can ask, which is big, or think, which is bigger. And what he says is, I can do more than that. So can we believe that? Lastly, allow faith to become the substance of what is hoped for and evidence for things which are currently unseen. More than once, I have thanked God for things that I could not see with my eyes. Lord, I thank you for that blessing. Lord, I thank you for that healing. Lord, I thank you for the right relationship. You don't even have a relationship. You don't have a friend in the world. Yes, I know, but I'm thanking God. God, I believe that you're going to provide a friendship for me that's going to be right. A relationship for me that's going to be right. What is God stretching you? And can you believe? Will you be a conduit of His grace, His mercy, and His awesome power? Or will you allow your pinch point to become the regulator on what God can do in your life? This isn't condemning. I hope you hear my heart. We've all got the regulators. We've all got the pinch points. It's just saying, let's expand. Let's just believe He can do what He said He'll do. Bow your heads with me if you would, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm believing you for the miraculous. In every life, what is a miracle is different. And I'm believing you to do a miracle in every life, in every family, in every home. I'm believing you for the impossible. I know that humanly speaking, it's impossible. What we're talking about doesn't make any sense, humanly speaking. But I'm not living by sight. I am walking by faith. Salvation is by faith alone. And that same faith that can connect me with you in salvation connects us with your power and your authority. And it allows us to access a world that is beyond us. And so today, we choose to be wide open before you. Father, I thank you for the testimonies that I believe we're going to hear of you doing miraculous things in people's lives, things that make no sense. They cannot be explained, except that you stepped in and did something unique. We're going to do our very best to give you honor and glory for it. We're going to do our very best to believe you for it in faith. We're asking you to expand us and let us be open to all that you have for us in Jesus' name. And can everybody say amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our elders are coming forward as we close in song. Let's pray for you. If you need anything at all, just come forward and let's join.